Blog Talk Radio.
To God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We are professional Christian counselors on this broadcast, who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect, among other things. And we're here on Crossroad Broadcast in order to make things are more clear to you. There are different topics that we have discussed and will be discussing on this broadcast, but we want to give you some kind of insight as to what is happening at different stages of our lives and certain things that are going on or about to go on in our life. So we take it a privilege as well as an honor to be able to come to you today here on this broadcast, on Crossroad Broadcast, to be able to share with you with our special topic on the day, premarital counseling. But first, why don't you call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. We have with us today Dr. June Normiel, will be coming later in the broadcast, and she will share with you some things about premarital counseling. There are some things that you need to know and others need to know about premarital counseling. So why don't we just go before the throne of grace? When I say that, we're going before God so that we can pray, so that he can lead us and guide us, so he can direct our path, so that you can also be led, that you can have an ear to hear what God is speaking to you, and that God would give you understanding, because you may be anticipating a marriage, and there are things that you and your partner need to know. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done and all, dear God, that you're going to do according to your word. Certainly, God, we thank you, God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet And your word is a light for our pathway. Thy words have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord Jesus, ask our audience, listen today. Lord, let them listen attentively. And Lord, let them get great understanding as we process, as we go before this audience, and as others will later hear this broadcast, we pray that they too will be blessed. Father, we just give you praise and glory. Lord, heal broken hearts, bind up those wounds, those people that already have been married, and God, they didn't have the opportunity to have a counselor. Marriage for some reason did not work out. I pray, God, even now, that, Lord, this, Father God, broadcast will help them, that will cause healing and will cause deliverance in their lives. And this we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we just want today just kind of enter in a little bit to let you know where we're coming from. Later, as I said before, Dr. Normia is going to be coming in, and she's going to talk about the reason for premarital guidance. And it's so important that you be led. Just like the word, let us know that we should be led by the Spirit. I know that everybody not walking in the word, and they're not guided by the word of God. But we want to give you, initiate today, something that's going to help you. And even though we go through this stages, premarital first, as we go through this, we're going to talk about this this week and next week, and then we're going to be continually talk about premarital guidance and counseling, then we want you to be blessed. We want you to be helped. We want you to be able to gain something from this as we go into this teaching, premarital counseling. Matt, even asked you before I began, why don't you just get some paper or pen if you could get it? It may be out of your reach right now, but you still have time to get up and get it. Or if you just prefer listening, if you want that can memorize and listen well and do recall, that would be just fine. So you could just go ahead and do that. But I want to talk about the day Rich and Andrea, they were ready to get married. I don't know how many young people out there, even elderly people, those middle-aged people, they may be intensifying a marriage. And sometimes we focus marriage on a lot of times young people when they get ready to get married. But there are people that on all ages that some of them have never been married before. And now at this stage of their life, they want to get married. But we want to talk about what, no matter what age you are, if you never been married before, these are things that you really need to know and get some kind of insight and some encouragement and be educated on what we want to bring to you on today. Rich and Andrea were ready to get married, and they both were in their early 20s. They met in the cafeteria of the state university that they attended, and Rich was finishing his degree in biology, and Andrea was a sophomore, still searching for a major. She didn't know exactly what her major was going to be. You know, like many college students, they go to college and they keep changing their major about 3 or 4 times before they decide on what major they're going to decide on. It was love at first sight when they met each other, when they became a couple and admitted to pastoral counseling, that their 3 month relationship have been characterized mostly by starry-eyed and infatuation and too much physical involvement. So that's something that I want you to just think about as well as we go on. It was love at first sight. You know, sometimes the way that we define love. It's not really love. Sometimes we think that we're in love with people, and we may be as staring-eyed, and we're staring at one another. We got that look in our eye because we're in love with that person. We think this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. But it's not really sometimes the story. It's not really something that's going to happen. Sometimes you just get so infatuated with the individual. And sometimes, even as we have said, that because we're infatuated with them, because we think that we're in love with them, and we just can't keep our eyes off them, sometimes there could be physical involvement. And as believers, many times we are discouraged from being having physical involvement with a person that you maybe think that you like. And just think about it. They just met each other about 3 months ago. They're just three months into their relationship. So they are many things that they really didn't know about one another. But they was in love. Whether it was her hair, I'm not sure. I don't know. Whether her beautiful black eyes, her blue eyes, or whatever, her eyes, the green eyes, I'm not sure. Brown, I'm not sure. Was it the size she was? Was she tall or short? Did she have a beautiful smile? Or was he handsome, tall? Was he 6 feet? What was it that attracted each other to them? Was because they looked at each other and suddenly thought, you know, he would make a good husband. Or she could have said, oh, this is kind of like the ideal man that I want in my life. But yet, not really knowing who they were. They see on the physical side of them, but they really didn't know each other. So they began to, as I said, sometimes it was a little too much physical involvement. And their report was that they really hadn't gone all the way, which means they didn't have actually have a sex with one another, but it was very, very close. Have you ever got to that point wherein that you think you're in love? Because I know it's happening all the time. As a counselor, we know it is happening. It's happening out there. And sometimes people don't know how to control themselves, and they don't know because of the fact that they have been trained, haven't been talked to about certain things, and sometimes they are not really Christians, and they're not, and they maybe call themselves Christians, but yet sometimes they are not studying the word, or they're not listening to the word, or they're not obeying the word. So therefore, they can get themselves in some complicated situation, especially when they think that they're in love with one another. So they're thinking now that, you know, they're so infatuated with one another that they're not really, really sure that they could wait. Can they wait to marry? Sometimes we've gotten the wrong information, and people are thinking that, you know, you ought to try things out before you get married. You should see whether or not this is what you want. Are you all compatible? But this is not the word of God. This is not what God's word says. And we cannot keep ourselves. And we're talking in perspective as a Christian counselor. This is the perspective that we're talking about because of the fact that if you're a Christian and you're a believer, then I believe, and the word let us know that we can't keep ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves. It is better to marry than to burn. But Andrea came from a Jewish home, and her parents had never been very religious. And that's what we're talking about sometimes, because it's the situation, it's the home style, it's the lifestyle, it's where you were brought up. So her parents have never been religious, but she knew that they would object if she chose to marry a Gentile. See, another thing, that's another red flag, because even if you remember the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of the New Testament of John, you see that the woman said that was at the well told Jesus that the Jews and the Gentiles they didn't converse, they didn't get along, you know, they didn't talk to one another. So therefore, here they knew that because their parents had never been very religious, and they knew that they would object if she chose to marry a Gentile. Rich, this was a young man named, thought that his fundamental parents might be less, resistant, especially since Andrea was attending church. She was attending church regular, and she had become a Christian. Andrea, however, knew little about Christian faith. There are many times, you know, all we looking at the individual, all we looking at that person's faith, all we looking at what we think that we're attracted to, but we don't know their bias. We don't know where to go to church, or we don't think it matters. Or we don't know many of things that we're going to be talking about on this broadcast during the weeks to come. We're going to talk about many things. We're going to talk about before you say I do. That is our intention, to be able to talk to you before you say I do. Okay, Andrea knew little about Christian faith, in contrast to Rich, who was almost raised up in church. He was almost raised up church, but she was not. And there was other differences in Rich and in Andrea's past. One set of parents was well educated, and both mothers and fathers were successful professional people. You know, say what you want to say, but sometimes people get a little uppity, and they think that if you're not educated, if you don't have those certain things in life, that, you know, you're not good enough for my daughter, or you're not good enough for my son. If you if you didn't come from that right neighborhood, you want the Jew, or you want this and that, then you don't stay on the side of town that in the upper class or middle class, then I don't really want you marry my daughter, marry my son. Okay, so there is that. We're just talking being real. These are not my feelings. This is not our feelings. But I'm telling you that some things that, yes, we totally agree with, because it is according to the Word. Anything that the Word says that we should do, we are in agreement. We are certainly in agreement with it. So here we see that the other parent graduated as with modest means, and both had worked most of their adult lives and in secure but relative low paying jobs. So things about it that they had a job, the parents. It may not have been the job that Rick's parents had, they worked, but it wasn't one of those maybe the professor of a college, or the parents were the CEO or things like that. You know how people try to bring things on, and you know, you're not good enough for my son or my daughter, as we said before, and it can be a problem. You know, it could be a problem, because then if a person has made up their mind, the parents sometimes, and all parents are not like that, Come on, let's bring it to the forefront. All parents are not like that, but there are some parents and some godparents and some people that can really cause some problems. And then they can put up that question mark. So we got some things that when we began to talk about these things, yes, we see some red flags already as we began to talk about Andrea and about Rick. So, therefore, as we go through this, we want you to prepare yourself to take notes and see where you are. And if you're not there and you need to still take notes, or you need to really make sure that later on, most of every woman want to get married, you know, and if they don't, you ought to be able, in case later you want to get married, you'll know how, and the same thing with the gentleman, same thing with the man, the male. Rich and Andrea had approached marriage with dreams about how bliss they were going to experience as husband and wife. But the couple didn't have very realistic plans for the future, nor did they have money in the bank on jobs. So there's some old red flags in there. Number one, they haven't finished college. One don't even know what their major going to be. Then they hadn't made plans. A lot of times, you know, people always think about, you know, we love each other so much and so we're going to meet. They don't have a dime in the bank. They don't have any long-term type plans for when they get married. They get pregnant, you know, what's going to happen to the baby that they're going to have? Do they have any insurance? Could they afford any insurance? You know, have this man been in prison where he can't work? Or was he been in trouble in jail, whether or not he can get a job? Or whether or not this man have, he's a schizophrenic, man could be bipolar, woman can't as well. Do they, have anger issues? You know, can they get also, can they have social issues? Can they get along with people? Do they know how, you know, to communicate? Not just to the person in love, but communication is a big factor because you need to be able to communicate with other people, with his friends, with her friends. Are they the type of friends that you want to associate with or want to be with? What church are we going to go to? You know, Andrea, she didn't really go to church. She didn't really she wasn't in a Christian, really in the Christian faith that, and was a believer like his family was. And you can go to church, certainly, and still miss God. But I'm just saying, sometimes things are so important to people, but, you know, what their standards are, whether they do it or not, they're very important to them. We're kind of getting down, but we want to spend about 20 minutes today on this, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go, and next week we're just going to follow up again. But I just want to say a few more things, and I'm there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be finished with this for today, and then we're going to pick up with Dr. Normia. And when they had approached the campus pastor during the university spring break about a wedding, because they had already began to think about wedding bills, and they were surprised and annoyed when he failed to share their enthusiasm. And that's what happened many times. You know, you got to have somebody that's clear. You got to have somebody that's not going to agree with everything that you say and everything that you do, no matter how in love you are with somebody. There has to be somebody like a Christian counselor or your pastor that's not going, just because you're both, you know, just gleaming over and you just falling over each other, you want to set that date for, you want to go get that ring for your bride and groom. Well, you need to be able to think about some things. There are some very positive things that we're going to be talking about during this broadcast. And that's why we want you to go and to tell somebody about the Crossroad broadcast. Of course, I'm going to end it with this because I want to stay within about 20 minutes today. So what has happened is that when they went to the campus pastor, they found out that the campus pastor was not so enthusiastic about what they were doing because he had some factual things that he most likely discussed with them, and he said some things to them that they most likely hear. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go to Dr. June, and we're going to let her talk to us on today about the reason for sending our to guys. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes on that, and we're going to come back next and talk about this again. Dr. June Normia.
McCoy. Praise the Lord, Radio Land. Give honor to God for allowing me to come before you today. My topic is the reason for premarital guidance. And that is so needed today. It's known all over the world that many people, they spend years getting ready for the wedding. They purchase a lot of things. They save money. They go broke, bankrupt, everything just for a wedding, but not even preparing for the marriage. And there's a difference between a marriage and a wedding. And a wedding, a wedding is known to last one day. I'm not even going to give it 24 hours, but I just say one day. That's a wedding. We prepare ourselves for that big day. And then a marriage sometimes don't even last a week in some cases. After people get married, after a wedding is over, that's when the real thing happens. That's when reality sets in. And like I said, a lot of times we put more effort in the marriage, then more marriage will be more successful than what they are today. And I'm going to tell you the definition of a marriage. A marriage is the legal union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. Hear me again, the legal union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. That's what a marriage is. And I'm also going to tell you what a wedding is. A wedding is the act of marrying. It's the act of marrying. The ceremony of celebration of a marriage. And so we get all excited. People get excited about that wedding day. And the bride looks so beautiful. The groom is so handsome. The decoration, all the family and friends are gathered together in sight of God. And they make vows for that one particular day at that wedding. And after they say, I do, it's a legal union. It's a contract in the eyes of God that those two people are married. They are husband and wife. And that's when the reality sinks in. And you wonder, and people wonder, what happens when a marriage don't last no longer than 3 months? And then you see they take at least 3 years or sometimes 2 years or 1 year preparing for a wedding. But when we don't have premarital guidance, things like that happen. And when we do that, I'm going to give you four nuggets, if I get a chance today, about why we need premarital guidance. For number one, because it can lead to unrealistic expectations that can lead to disillusionment, and that is so true. And, you know, when people, they approach marriage, you know, most people, they assume that their relationship is not like everybody else. They assume that even though they see their friends, their family members, marriage didn't last long, and if they did last, some people living in a situation in a marriage that is reckless and seem to be unhappy, and they assume that, oh, mine is not going to be like that. Mine's not going to be like that. And a lot of times people that go into the relationship without counseling, they just go by their own instincts. They go by their own unction or just being led by their flesh, and they don't have biblical stipulation that would lead them into the right way of having a relationship as being husband and wife, and they think their relationship is going to be different. They say, oh, I see this person's marriage didn't work. I know theirs not working, but we love each other. I know ours own is going to work. And but most people think like that, their marriage will be destroyed by the pressures that leads often to the courtroom. Most people think like that, it always end up like their marriage will be falling, that, like the same person that they're talking about, their marriage didn't work. But what we have to do, we have to just depend on God. We have to get counseling, and it's best to get Christian counseling. Like Dr. McCall said, well, we stand up for biblical treatment, biblical aspects. Everything is going to treat your relationship according to the word of God. That's the kind of information we give you, because a lot of times you can go, people could go to counseling, secular counseling, not bashing in all secular counseling, but a lot of times they're not going to give you what we are trained to do, what we are called to do, give you biblical information that will cause you to be in reality, that cause you to be aware and to avoid things that going to expect that's going to happen in a relationship with both of the people that who are getting married. And, you know, many couples, they expect when they get into a marriage, they go in with the wrong ideal. They go into a marriage thinking that that person, that spouse who they have, is going to fulfill everything that needs to be done. They think, but it's not, the fulfillment is not in the couple or the spouse of each one of the lady or the man. That's not fulfillment to make a complete marriage. But you have to already have things within inside yourself. And even if you don't, if you lack an avoid or any one of those things that you expecting, you'll be able to still handle that. But you'll know about these things when you have counseling. You can talk about those things. A lot of people don't know anything about each other like they think they do until after they get married. Once they finally don't got married, they start living together. And something about a lot of times, but we talk from a biblical standpoint, some people, what we call shack up, they stay with each other. They want to do a trial-based marriage to see how it works out. That's not what we train to do. That's what not kind of counsel we're going to give you, because that's not God's way. We don't have try-out marriage, try out, see how it works out. We don't have having sex before marriage to see how it works out. Then we'll know if we can do that. It don't work like that based on the counseling that we're going to give you. But a lot of times when people get into that relationship, they expect when they get married that their spouse is going to give them fulfillment. They're going to get expressions of all kind of sexual urges. They're going to fulfill that. And they're going to have sharing of the child rearing, or who responsibilities are going to do that, who's going to take care of the kids, how are we going to do that. Our belonging and the main thing about security, how are we going to make it? Who income, what going to be used for us to be able to live a life that we'll be able to provide for ourselves, but we'll be able to provide for our children? And a lot of times you'll be surprised, people don't even know about any of those things. They don't discuss any of those things before they get married. They wait till after they get married, and then that's when they find out that the person who they married said is not in agreement with that. Oh, no, I'm not going to give you authority over my check to let you decide how we're going to pay the bill. These things we need to talk about before you get married. And you don't find out those things, like they don't wait till you get into marriage to find out those different things, because sometimes it just don't work. And that's a bad way to go into a marriage. It's like going there with blinders on, and you walking down the aisle, you don't get married. Both of y'all have blinders on, and you don't know who you married, what they look like and everything. But then after you say, I do, you take the blinders off, and the person don't look nothing like you imagined. And after you live with them, they're not even living the kind of lifestyle that you think they're living. You thought they'll be a clean person, or they'll be an easy-go person. They could be have you walking on eggshells. That's why you have to talk to counseling. You have to get Christian counseling before you get into that. You can't expect when you marry an individual that that person is going to fulfill your life about things that you desire, not even talking about that before you get married. So that's one reason you have to have a Christian counselor. And a lot of times people, they fail to realize the meaning for marriage is, you know, it grows slowly. And only with effort. Every marriage have problems. I know people who've been married for a long time. People don't went through a lot of things, but they were able to overcome that. And you ask anybody who married, I don't know anyone who would tell you they didn't have problems, that they didn't go through challenges and everything. But it was even better, but when they had counseling, that they were expecting things you know, to happen. When it was happening, they was able to work together. They was able to conquer that hurdle together. It ain't like it just hit them like a surprise, because they talked about those different things and those different issues before they got married. It wasn't nothing like, ooh, I didn't know you do that. I didn't know you were like that. I didn't know you snore so bad. It could be simple things like that. I didn't know you snore so bad. I can't take this anymore. Simple things like that. I didn't know you grit your teeth at night all throughout the night. Little simple things as people has caused them to break up and marriage not even lasting. Like I said, taking years and years preparing for a wedding day, but no preparation for the marriage. And the marriage is what really, really count. After the wedding, that's when all realistic things come in. But, you know, premarital counseling, you know, when you go to premarital counseling, it'll let you, the couple, express. It'll give you the opportunity to discuss and realistically modify. You'll be able to change things and your expectations of marriage and things that you'll be able to be open with your companion about, things that you don't like, your likes that, you know, and your dislikes and your likes, and things that y'all both agree about, what y'all willing to compromise to get to work on together. Only when you communicate before marriage, you know, before the wedding, you talk about these things before you even get married, and then it'll make your marriage a little easier. It'll make it a little better. Then you won't be so quick to divorce when things don't go right the way each one of you want expected to do. But, you know, conflicting expectation can be seen and hopefully resolved. And it can. It can be resolved. When you talk about things, you prepare in a way before you get there. But with the counselor help, the couple can learn that dreams for a marriage only becomes reality when there is mutual. Mutual means it got to come from both ends. It's giving a consistent effort. I mean, both parties, both companions have to work together to make a marriage work. And like I said before, talk about things like that before you get married. Don't wait till after you don't get married. You don't know anything about individual stuff, things. Do it the right way. Do it God's way. And it will work out. Number two, it is personal immaturity that can lead to insensitivity. And it's a true story right here. It was a young girl, the baby, a 7-month-old baby, was found abandoned. It's in Chicago, a police. He found it way in the month of January. And you know how cold it is in January. In Chicago, it's very cold. And it's a true story. They found, police found a 7-month-old baby girl abandoned in a pile of garbage one morning. And so the baby was left there alone to die, a 7-month-old baby. So finally they found the mother of the child. And when the mother was apprehended, when they caught her, she reported that she didn't want the responsibilities of raising a child. She wanted to continue to party. She wanted to continue to live her life. She's a teenager, but when she had to, became pregnant, she gave birth to a child, and that means her whole life had to change, because it was no longer just her by herself. She had to have the responsibilities of taking care of that child, bringing that child, and she did not want that. So what she did, she left the child there to die. But the child was found. Thank God the child was found. But she wanted to do what she'd been doing before she had a child. And that's the same way it is when, like it's copied, is personal immaturity that can lead to insensitivity. Same thing is about when couples go into marriage. They got to understand that when you are going to get married, and before you get married, it's no longer you. Your own way and how you do things. It's that you giving up your life for the sake of someone else, the spouse, the person you're going to marry. That go vice versa, the man or the woman. And you have to discuss things like that, because when you marry, you may not be able to just stay out all night as being like you did when you were single. You may not be able to have yourself or friends' preference that you did before you got married, because it depends on the spouse, the person that you're going to marry, how they feel about that person, your friends, you know what I mean? How they feel about you staying out all night. Things like that, you know, it seems simple, but things like that happen, and all the time it just causes marriage to be disrupted because they don't talk about those things. That's another thing you don't talk about before you get married. You just feel like, okay, we love each other, we got Google, Gaga, all look at each other's eyes, we see stars and everything, and everything just go fine because you're still single. And you're still able and capable of doing a living that single life. But as you get married, things change. You're no longer your own. You belong to each other. And then that way, and the person who you marry may not feel or show those same attributes, to show those same feelings about you when you stayed out with your friends. When you were single, they may not have a problem with that, when you fellowship with your friends and stayed out all night. But then once you got married, they had a problem with that. So you need to discuss all kind of things like about that before you get married, because when a couple you is dating, you know, they don't have participation about the future. You're like, ooh, I can't wait to get married. You know, and the differences tend to be overlooked. And the plans need to be made. But what you're going to do after the wedding, that's when the settlement of dinner routines hit in, the person mannerism, you know what I mean, the way they act and how they handle things when they're under pressure, and, you know, are they able to go with you through the long haul, you know. But then a lot of time when people, they're not strong enough, a lot of people can't handle weak people. What they'll do, they just tend to bail out on you. They just tend to bail out on you because they will feel like when I was single, I was independent. I was being able to carry all this, better than this. I mean, you're supposed to be my wife or you're supposed to be my husband, but you're not able to handle anything. You weak, you know. So immature people tend to be self-centered, and that's what they'll do. You know, when they're immature, they'll do that. They'll just think about themselves, and sometimes when problems come, they won't even try to work it out. At different times, the individuals may be manipulated, you know, over, you know, little subtle ways and stuff. And then sometimes even the person can be competitive against their spouse, the person they're going to marry. When they marry, they get competitive. They be jealous. It's true. They could be jealous and real competitive over things because it may be like the man was used to making the more, you know, money or whatever, and then maybe something may happen, perhaps that maybe now that you're married, that the female, maybe the wife might be making more money, and it could be messing with his ego, like a self-esteem thing, and it could cause them to have problems in their marriage and everything. But, you know, you have to be mature about things like that and know how to work things out. But when we don't discuss things like that, things happen like that every day, and sometimes people just, the marriage is just destroyed, you know, relationship just destroyed. But when you have premarital counseling, you know, what they do, we seek to uncover and discuss self-centered tendencies, you know, to put a strain on marriage. If you think about as each individual as being before they got married, you know, and each person was an individual, a single before they got married, and they were used to doing their own thing, used to having their own way. And sometimes, let me say, like a lot of people may be spoiled, and they may be, you say, a more mature word, they just are immature in that area. But when you discuss things like that, it's able to, you know, you'll be able to overcome it. But you have to discuss things like that. And then sometimes when you have counseling, you have opportunity to be honest, to be open, to discuss things like that. Because then you avoid a lot of chaos, you know, that happens inside the marriage. Because that's what counseling is all about. They're giving you the opportunity to discuss things that you're going to encounter, things that you might be in question about, and also having the ear to hear. Also having the ear to hear the side and the point of view of your companion, also the side and the point of view of the counselor, because a lot of times you have to be prayerful about who you even go to see counseling. That's why I recommend you to go see a Christian counselor, because that's what we are, and we're going to give you biblical information. We're going to give you biblical advice based on the Word of God, and a lot of times but they get people can give you all kind of damnable information out there, you know, for money's sake or whatever reason. But also, please seek Christian counseling, and it will help you. And also, another thing that it could cause is circumstances that can lead to later misery and everything. And, you know, you change the roles, it can lead to confusion, because confusion can be conflict. And when a man or woman marry each other, it's not clear who role, who's going to play what, because you may have a woman who's very dominant. She might be real smart. She might be real independent. She's able to carry everything. And it changed, the whole thing may be changed. And then again, you may be a man that was used to being in control, but then your spouse might not, might be, she may be real humble and, you know, real submissive, not able to be able to handle things as far as like the way you would want her to do as being your wife. So, you know, confusion, conflicts may follow, you know, when they go through things like that. But different assumptions and point of view about that, who's supposed to do what, it can lead to tension unless the couple has learned to communicate honestly and non-defensively in a loving way. So allow y'all have to talk about, discuss things like that, but don't be so hard and so aggressive that it intimidates the other person to be able to be open, to be open with you and share what they really feel. You know, be loving and kind to one another, because you have to realize both of you all are different people, and now y'all finna come into in union with one person, and you have to give and take a lot of different, and it's okay. But discuss those things. That's what counseling is for. It gives you opportunity to discuss the things that you don't like, your likes or dislikes and everything. You have to communicate, and together you can learn to discuss the differences, you know, expectations, and, you know, and decide on areas of responsibility, who going to do what. It's okay. You have to do that. And the husband and wife, you know, they should operate in ways with mutually assist each other regardless of the custom or tradition. Like you say, regardless of how you was raised or he was raised or she was raised, when you're going to get married, and when you're married, you have to forget about all that. You have to forget about that, but keep it in mind. But don't let that be a crush. Don't let that be a handicap for your marriage because tradition, what you were raised, because now you're not in your parents' house. He's not in his parents' house. Y'all are in the house together. So y'all got to play a role, you know, that both of y'all can work with. And the best role that you can get is the clarification of biblical teaching. You know, go according to the scripture. You know, both the Christian husband and wife, you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And, you know, you daily, you know, confessing your sins together, you pray together, you know, giving God thanks and praying for the Holy Spirit to control each of y'all lives. When you go through that, you do things a biblical way, it will strengthen your marriage. It'll open doors. It'll close doors that don't need to be open. And, you know, and there also must be an attitude of mutual submission to each other. You got to submit to each other. You know, the husband and wife, don't try to control each other. You know, the husband, you know, he must love his wife. You know, he got to love his wife. And in return, you know, the lady has to submit herself to her, but she got to respect him. Even if you used to be the breadwinner, you was being a single woman, you independent, you can cause yourself, God has graced you with that, be able to fulfill life healthy and happy, you know, before you get married. But then again, you come into now a relationship with a man, you have to honor yourself and still respect your husband for who he is. Let him be the man of God that God has called him to be, you know. And even though if he might have a soft characteristic or a small soft mannerism, that he might be an easy-go-lucky person, you know, don't dog him out, you know. Let him be the man that God calls him to be. And also, for the man, you know, you might have a real humble wife that God has graced you to be, even though, you know, you, the husband, if we know you, the husband, don't control her. Don't treat her like a handmaid, you know, because you feel you got that kind of authority. You have to both respect each other, you know, because the husband and the wife, both of y'all are equally valuable, and both of y'all are important in building a good marriage. But, you know, you have to have the different responsibilities and agree on that. You know, the Bible scripture roles for the husband and wife cannot be changed or ignored. You know, you have to, both of y'all have to discuss and consider the broad guidelines of the Bible. The Bible gives you which way to go. It's the roadmap. Just like it is for salvation for us to get to heaven, it's the same way to have a successful marriage. You know, like I say, no one have a perfect marriage, but everyone, you can have a happy marriage. You could have a healthy marriage because it don't rain always, you know, and the sun don't shine always. And that's how it should be in the marriage. But always let the Bible be your roadmap. What to do after you get married. We will tell you things like the Christian counselor will tell you that. They will give you advice and biblical principle what to do before you get married, because I guarantee you, by the time we talk about some of these things that a lot of people don't talk about until after they get married, they say, and things happen. You ever heard people say, oh, I wish I would have knew that before I married you. I sure wouldn't marry him, or I sure wouldn't marry her if I knew they'd do that, if I know they thought like that, if I know they would do that. That's why it's important to have these counseling session before you get married. That's what it's all about. And the fourth one is alternative styles of marriage that can lead to uncertainty. Yeah, and we know now these days that the traditional family structure of one husband who is the primary provider, legally married to one wife, you know, and a lot of times, a lot of things don't change now in the world that we live in today. But we know, as Christian counselors, you are supposed to be married to only one wife or one husband at a time. You know, because sometimes the grounds of divorce, if you was a widow, you remarried, it's okay. But I'm just saying, we know, but a lot of times you have to know this thing, because a lot of times now what's out there, our counselors are telling you, God forbid, not a Christian counselor, are telling people, oh, well, I want to know what should I do? My marriage is not happy. You know, we're not having fun. It's kind of boring. And you have counselors actually telling people, well, how about swinging? And what that means is giving you permission, both spouses agreeing to have a relationship with other married couples, like swapping partners or doing things together that can make them happy. Say, that might spice our marriage up. But no, that's not the word of God. You don't need no swinging or no hanging with no other couple. Y'all are submissive and dedicated to each other. That's why you have to be careful. That's not the word of God. You have your own husband, your own wife. And then a lot of times, even though people say we don't have open marriage. You have couples too that before they go into marriage, they'll say, okay, we get married. We still be married, but you can see who you want to see, and I'll see who I want to see. And they agree upon that. That's not the word of God. Christian counselors, we don't condone such things. Even in gay marriages, we're not going to condone that, because all of them are not biblical principles based on the word of God. So that's why you have to make sure you have a Christian counselor before you even get married, you know, because when you have people telling you different things, you know, people they be confused, they be uncertain about what's right. Or then you tell people telling you, yes, it's okay. Before you get married, you better know how they are in the bed before you have a sexual relationship with them, because they may not be good, and you're going to just waste your time. And a lot of times, and even people now, they have gotten married in a situation because of what happened in their sexual life. They're not pleased, and they divorce. And that's not of God. You talk about and discuss all kind of things. You be led by the word of God and the biblical God and the principles of God, and things work out. So we'll continue this next week, and I pray that some of the nuggets that you have seen, that will help you, also what Dr. McCoy gave you. Until we meet again next week, back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We want to thank Dr. Normiv for giving us some insight on premarital marriage and counseling, because this is what we really want to talk about before it happened. Many things have happened to many marriages because they did not get premarital counseling, Christian counselor. So we're going to put a dot, we're going to put a tag in there, and we're going to wait until next Monday so that we can tell you what, discuss some things as to what is about to happen and why it's so important that you get counseling, Christian counseling, before you attempt to get married. We thank you for tuning in on today. We get ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for all that you have done, all God that was said on today. Lord, bless the hearers and the doers. God, give them, Father God, what they need, Father God, this day and this hour. Lord, if there's someone out there that are not saved, that do not know you as the Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you would touch their life, God, that you would touch them, God, that you would give them hope, God, to let them know, God, that they can make it. Lord, I pray, God, that the knowledge that they have received today, God, that they have the wisdom to use it. And Father, we just thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We want to thank Dr. June Normiv. And of course, we thank the Lord for you, our radio audience, being here again on Crossroads Broadcast. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Tune in with us on this coming Monday as we again talk about premarital counseling. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.